CIYA After Dark, the premium feed for This Is Your Afterlife, unbound by the format of the main show. My name is Dave Marr. I am the host of This Is Your Afterlife and TIYA After Dark. Thank you for listening and being part of the Patreon or listening to this preview and then deciding to hop over to the Patreon at patreon.com/thisisyourafterlife. I don't run ads. Your support helps me make the main show and not do another coma. So thank you for that. Today, this week, whenever you are listening to this, we are doing something that I am calling, perhaps unwisely, the casual work cruelty exorcism. I say perhaps unwisely because it just, I'm a title guy. I love a title, but I'm aware that sometimes as a title guy, I can obsess. I can get a little too perfectionistic. And then when people don't get it right, I'm like, no, it's called, like, for instance, my first one-man show was called Dave Marr Coma Show. The title was Dave Marr Coma Show, right? It was a four-word title. And people just kept calling it the Coma Show, which also was a valid, casual way to reference the show. But if I were to say the Coma Show, that would be me speaking in all lowercase. If I'm to refer to the proper title of the show, it was Dave Marr Coma Show. And I just suspect that casual work cruelty exorcism, I guess another way of saying it is it just doesn't roll off the tongue. But that's what I've got. And I'll explain why. So if you've listened to the podcast in recent months, you know, and I'm going to anonymize this as much as I can, especially in the preview before the paywall, because I am relying on all of you afterheads and producers not to be narcs. But yeah, some pronouns, definitely some names will be either bleeped out or changed. Some details will be changed. But anyway, if you've listened recently, you know that at my nonprofit job, I was recently turned from I'm still a technically full-time employee, but from a salaried employee into an hourly employee so that they could reduce my total number of hours for the week into the lowest number of hours that I can still qualify for benefits, which, you know, nice to qualify for benefits. Not a good sign, though. So, okay. There are so many instances of shitty job stuff that I could get into, but I want to keep mine a little bit brief, briefer than I'm tempted to, because in this episode, I've got calls. I've got calls and voice memos from people who have their own work shit to share. So this is a little, that's the exorcism part. This exorcism is in four phases. We are in the introduction at the moment. So I'm explaining my situation. The best way to explain it is to give if you hear the complaining of a cat in the background, that is simply solidarity with the working class. Okay, so my situation explained by a text I sent a friend. Okay, this is a friend I will text periodically to, you know, do some natural bitching about our jobs. Okay, I sent him a couple weeks ago. This is me. I spent 2 fucking hours today figuring out why my work laptop would not connect to the internet while trying to finish this dumb project and put together the next email I had to send out. I only had 4 hours left of my new allotted time for the week. Was literally on 2 phones and 2 computers trying to solve the problem, keep editing the project, talk to IT, be in touch with my boss about my progress, and do my other tasks. I wasn't able to finish the big email, and we talked about sending it later, but my boss finished his part and decided it needed to be sent now, but I told him I can't and I'm approaching my hours. We'll just say that my hours, you know, we'll say 20 hours is the full-time hours. So I'm approaching 21 hours because my boss told me to stay in touch with him about my time. Okay. Are you following all this? This is me breaking out of the text. This is, yeah. So I'm on a bunch of devices because I'm trying to connect to the internet and finish a bunch of work. That's the issue. Okay. Back to the text. He was remote in the morning and he arrives as I'm wrapping everything up. As we connect on the status of everything, he goes, "Hey, so you're over your time. You got to get out of here." Like couched in a way of looking out for me, but also why didn't I let him know even earlier? So I point to the four devices I had been working on and tell him I was preoccupied. I'm like, and this is me, you know, paraphrasing, but I'm like, "Yeah, I was a little busy." And he's like, "Okay, well, you still got to let me know. You shouldn't work over your hours." My hours for that week were 21.25 hours. Okay. My pay is 21 something dollars an hour. So all of that was for $25. And so end of text. And I know maybe you're thinking, yeah, these are sometimes I'll send a long text. You know, that's what it is. So all of that for $25, I've been thinking about this and what I've realized, I'm like, there's just no way that this company, because the reason they cut my hours was to save money, right? They have to report to their board or whatever. I don't even know, you know, and they, I'm sorry, I'm just in my head and I'm like, is someone going to listen to this? So I'm trying to provide only factual information to start with, okay? But, and am I doing this because it does feel risky? Yes, partially. Am I also doing it because I was, you know, in terms of bonus content for the podcast, what I like to do is focus on the things that are at the top of my mind. And this is like weighing like an anvil at the top of my mind. Yes, that's the primary reason. So anyway, there's no way that saving $25 every couple weeks when I go over my hourly is going to balance the budget of this multiple million dollar budget nonprofit. And that's when I realized I am, okay, you know how a while ago when millennials were still the young generation, we had boomers telling us that we just had to like save, not get that coffee in the morning, not spend so much money on avocado toast, and then we'd really be able to like buy houses, afford property. That's what it would take. And obviously everyone knows that's bullshit now. I'm the fucking avocado toast of this job. And I just wish they would realize that. Okay. And so here's where the title of the episode comes in almost 10 minutes into the episode. My buddy texts me back. My buddy, who is Mark, who we will hear from later in the episode. He says, "I don't understand how somebody could be so casually stupid and cruel." And that kind of broke something in me because I had not thought to call it cruel. But casual is a really key word there. Like if I were to tell my boss and say to him, "Hey, that was really, you know, in so many words, fucked up. That was insensitive. That was like, I'm a human being." He would say something like, "Oh, you know, that's just the way things are, you know, my hands are tied, blah, blah, blah," because he's a middle manager, you know? And so these bosses don't even recognize the cruelty in themselves. And It's also insidious, this cruelty. It is, and I'm thinking about this because I recently finished watching, you see that show Jury Duty on Amazon Prime? They just released a second season. Jury Duty presents Company Retreat. So the premise of this show is one person is a non-actor in a situation surrounded by actors, creating absurd situations for the non-actor to react to. And then in the last episode, they find out they find out it's been a TV show the whole time, not just like a documentary. So the first season was they filmed this guy doing jury duty. This season, it was this guy gets hired as a temp to help out on this company retreat. And it's, they pick these people who are very sweet, the non-actors, who they call heroes, okay? Which lets you a little bit know how they're thinking about the show. It's about uplifting these normal people who are making, like, it's a show to show us that, like, people are good inside. Like, there's, and I don't mean to totally talk about it sarcastically, but I've got some skepticism about it, because it's one thing to do this with Jury Duty, where everyone in the scenario, they're strangers to each other, but it's another thing to do it with work culture, to have people, including the hero in this season, say, we're a family. And this dude's been working at this company for like 4 days. And granted, it's an intense process at a retreat. It's an intense scenario that he's in. Situation was the word I was looking for. But it's still just like, to have work treated in that way, it makes me feel a little icky. And yes, like at the end, the nice thing is that, like, you know, it's about the relationships. It's not just about the structure of work. It's kind of about like the humanity in between the fissures of work and the superstructure of work. But it just doesn't feel good to have like. I think it doesn't feel good to have work taken such for granted as a fact of life. And this is why I am, I've got a history of not great employment. Pre-sobriety, it was like for worse reasons, but now it's just because like fundamentally people can tell that I say things like, I don't like that work is taken so fundamentally as a fact of life, you know? So I say all of this to say, and to wrap up the introduction, I'll just say, work sucks, I know. Okay, so that's it. This is the casual work cruelty exorcism, or possibly work sucks, I know. Okay, so now we are going to hear from the demons that need to be exorcised. This is an exorcism, so we are in phase two. We are in the shit now, okay? I have several voice messages from people who called in to talk about their work. And we'll see how we get through them, what kind of talks happen as they happen. So here we go.
Well, Dave, you asked for it. So this is, I'm just calling to kind of convey the general like post-Doge state of affairs for federal contractors. Okay, so obviously this goes without saying I should probably keep things anonymous because there's a lot of retribution going around. There was like a lawsuit floated at me and my team at one point. So I just want to like put that out there. But I do think I have like a very concrete example of someone's job being replaced by AI, which we don't hear a lot about. So my boss, who was admittedly very prickly and not like easy to work with, basically kept volunteering to fix things and kept saying like, oh, all this stuff is wrong and we need to do this. But unfortunately, like the government stopped kind of paying us for the work as it was. So the higher ups were like, hey, stop doing this. You're like volunteering for work that we're not going to get paid to do. Anyway, he never stopped. So they let him go. And I was like, what are we doing? How are we letting him go? We can't like, we don't know how to do any of the stuff he was doing. Like he kept saying all this stuff's wrong. And the client still thinks that these things need to be fixed, the client being the government. And they were like, well, we got a plan for it. And they basically just hired a guy as a contractor who has like a ChatGPT subscription, who is using ChatGPT to try to do the work that my boss used to do. And I'm trying to like rely on him to give me the inputs that I need to do my job. And I'm basically talking to this guy to go talk to his AI agents to come bring me the stuff that I need. And it's honestly just like insane and it's not working and it's all going to be wrong and bad. And it sucks to know that what you're working on that should be important. Like I don't work to like design drones that specifically target hospitals. You know, like I work in social science research, should be helping people, moving us towards like enlightenment or whatever, just generally informing policies and people to make better decisions. But unfortunately, like it's all going to be wrong because of like all the stuff that's kind of happened. And my bosses aren't necessarily totally to blame for the strategy because again, my boss was prickly and he did volunteer.
See, no. This is where he's starting to make excuses for the bosses. Dude, we need a unified front here. Full fuck all your bosses, okay?
Your work that we weren't getting paid for. But they're under pressure to keep their jobs. And the only way to really do that is to demonstrate to the federal government at all times that we are using AI as much as possible, even if that means hiring somebody who has a ChatGPT account so that they can say, hey, look, we're using AI. We're being more efficient.
I love that they're not even willing to pay for the ChatGPT account. It needs to be someone who already has a subscription. And then the other thing I was thinking about, I was like, you know, because he's talking about this caller is talking about getting inputs from this ChatGPT contractor guy. And I was like, man, how I feel about this really depends on the work he's doing. And he mentions that it's not drones bombing hospitals, which is obviously good in the first place. But I'm like, it's a bit of a relief to hear that the going to be inaccurate inputs are for social science research, right? A little bit. I don't want anything to be inaccurate, but it's like, but then again, I don't want the inputs for the drones bombing hospitals to have accurate inputs. So then I'm flipped back and I'm like, I wish that that guy does need to work at the weapons contractors, you know? So yeah, that's a clusterfuck. I'm really sorry to hear it, man. It's just also wild to hear the effects of Doge. Remember Doge? Remember that was like a thing? I don't know. I don't need to be a freaking observational. Remember Doge comedian? I think, dude, the thing I gotta say to that is, oh man. Okay. Hey man. What I gotta say to that is, work sucks, I know. Okay, let's go to the next voice message.